Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Maruchan superfans are everywhere. From the busy moms who want to deliver maximum flavor in a flash to dorm room diners who want to put some slurp in their step. There are a ton of copycats you could use, but if you want to bless your bowl, there's only one true Maruchan. Whether you choose instant lunch, ramen bowls, yakisoba, or restaurant quality gold, Maruchan is the only ramen worth obsessing over. Smiles for all. Maruchan. See what all the ramen hype is about at Maruchan.com.
Hey, hey guys, you are listening to the OCREP Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki, and I am the author of OCREP Potty Training and OCREP, I Have a Toddler. If you guys are on my email list, and you should be on my email list, I'll tell you how to do that in a second. You know that I have been sort of MIA for the summer. I've been a little MIA on social media because I had this big secret, this big announcement that I wasn't allowed to talk about, but I am now. And so my big announcement is that in May, I got another contract to do the 10th anniversary revision of OCREP Potty Training. Yay! So this is so exciting. This is a very rare opportunity for an author to get to revise their book. I am thrilled because I'm bringing not only a decade worth of full-time client work, but a decade of questions on Instagram, a decade of people telling me the things they don't like about the book. And I've always said, people don't understand about publishing is that a book published is written in stone quite almost literally, right? You cannot change it. And I can change it now. So I have heard the negatives and I have heard the positives and I have heard how people are reading the book and what is confusing and where people get stuck. So I'm so excited. And my deadline is August 30th. So I've been writing it all summer long and it's pretty much rewritten. And it is so good. Even as I was writing it, and I am not a, what do I want to say? I'm not a bragger, but this is good. As I was writing it, I was like, damn, this is going to be the best potty training book ever. So that's due May of 2024. So unfortunately, we won't see it for a little while because publishing moves like molasses. But anyway, if you have a little one, if you have a newborn, it'll be a good time then. I will keep you guys posted because we'll have like pre-sale bonuses and things like that. But if you aren't on my email list, you can get on that by going to Instagram, and that's jamie.glowacki. And there's a link in my bio that will take you to sign up for my email list, or you can go to jamieglowacki.com. And actually sign up by getting a potty training freebie. It's my presentation. It's about an hour long video. And you can get that by giving me your email and then you're on my list. And I don't swamp you. If anything, I sometimes forget to write emails. So generally I try to do one a week, but I won't swamp you. I promise. All right. Moving on. Let's hit some kind of back to school things because I know depending on where you live in the country, maybe you've already gone back to school. Of course, you know, for the potty training age, typically they're in daycare or preschool, and it might have been year round anyway, but let this be reminders for everybody. So one of the things that happens when, well, this is in life in general, but it really happens with the sort of clusterfuck of school. When your child has had a break of any variety, be it a couple of weeks or the whole summer, and they go back to school, it's a really janky transition, not just the first day. The first week is a very janky transition and there will be accidents. Even in kindergarten and first grade, there are accidents the first week because the kids are just overwhelmed and excited and tired and all kinds of things. So be aware of that. But the home schedule is just like all over the map. So number one, I wanted to give you a couple of things that I recommend. So when Pascal was in, it was really kindergarten that I noticed it the most. He came out so wound up, but wiped out, like wiped out following directions, the lines. It was a big school. So he was really wiped out. It was a lot more like academics, you know, sit down work, but he was also wound up because a lot more sitting, a lot less playing. And so it's this weird combination I called wound up, wiped out. So a couple of things I found really helpful were chamomile tincture. So this is, I've mentioned it before on the podcast. It's a tincture, which is like a little dropper, and it's chamomile. So it has the benefits of chamomile tea. But the nice thing about the tincture is that it's a couple of drops. So if you're potty training, you don't have to worry about like chamomile tea right before bed, or, you know, extra fluids when they get home from school. And so you don't have to do the full cup of tea. You get a couple of tinctures. And as a warning, get the child's version, not the adult. The adult version is almost always made with alcohol. You don't want that. You can ask me how I know. Yes, I made that mistake with my own child. And so that's really helpful for just calming everything. Also, at Whole Foods, you can get it on Amazon. It's called Rescue Remedy, and they have a child's formula. And they have that in tincture, and they also have that in gum. So if your child's able to chew gum and likes gum, it's a perfect thing. It's a Bach flower remedy, which means it's not a homeopathic, it's a flower remedy, but I found it to work really well with kids. It's a little too subtle for my adult system, but I also am the kind of person who needs a sledgehammer to the head to get any results. But I found that to be really helpful too. Just calming everything down, making everything a little smoother. So both of those could be very, very effective for you guys. Another thing that happens is, and again, this I see happen in just all kinds of life, not just after school, but it's sort of highlighted when kids get back, you know, go back to school, which is family dinner. And I just want to remind you guys, especially for the under four crowd, the potty training crowd, family dinner is very important. We know that there's all these studies, right? But remember that childhood is long, and family dinners really become important when the child is, you know, getting peer oriented. They're at school. You haven't seen them. You need to download the day. How, you know, there's a lot to talk about. And that's in the like 6 to 12 range where it's really, I mean, I think it's vital all the time, but that's when it's really, really vital and sports haven't taken over and that kind of thing. For the under 4 range, sleep is more important. So I do think that family meals are important, but family meals and all the benefits of family meals can happen at any meal. And it may be more appropriate that breakfast is a family meal, or that weekends you'll have all your meals together as a family. But on the weeknights, please don't delay dinner and your child going to bed because you, the parents, want to catch up with your children. At this age, there's not a lot to catch up on, and your child is going to be cranky. They're not going to respond. They're not going to talk about their day at dinner. And this is where picky eating starts and fussing, and you start negotiating and you start bribing. This is where a lot of bad habits start, because we're having kids eat too late. And a lot of times it's because one of the parents is getting home later and wants to see the child. And I understand that. I really do. But maybe reverse that and make that in the morning time. It's a little selfish of us as parents to keep a child up past their bedtime because we want to see them. They are beyond the beyond, right? And so it's not good relationship time. And they really, really need this sleep, especially if they've been on any sort of break where they could sleep whenever, you know, wake up whenever, and now they're on a tighter schedule. Going to bed at a really regular time and earlier than you would think is so super important. Under the age of 4, I would say 6:37. Honestly, 6:30 is preferred. And that seems horrifically early to some families because of family dinner, but I'd much rather you have your child eat something nutritious, you know, eat with them, of course. I'd never want to see a child eating by themselves. But remember, it's such a cluster when you get home and, you know, maybe they were in aftercare. And so you really want to be like, here, eat. Children really should be eating dinner around 4. That's when they want their snack. They should be eating dinner, and then they should have a snack later if they're still up. So we kind of get it reversed, right? Typically after school, we give them a snack, then they're kind of full, then they're kind of cranky for dinner, and dinner's a little too late. So you just want to make sure that that schedule is suiting the child, not you, the parents. And that means a early bedtime, because late bedtimes really screw up night training. They really screw up the mornings. And potty training in general can just fall apart when a kid is tired. That's why I always say sleep trumps potty training. So I just think it's a really important reminder. August, September is such a rough time for these kids to transition back to that like super strict schedule. So just keep that in mind. And I get people arguing with me all the time. And I understand, I do think family meals are important, but I also think at this age, sleep is more important. So if you can't swing, you know, the family meal, and I tell people all the time, listen, you know how it goes. right? Your child's sliding around their seat, and then that's again where these bad habits are. Oh, just one more bite, just one more bite. Oh, fine, he won't eat. Let's give him the dessert. You know, we are tired. We're at the end of our rope. And so it's just, it's better to have them fed and in bed early, and then you and your spouse can have a nice meal together afterwards. All right, it's similar. This is not back to school. This is like a daycare kind of thing. We're hearing a lot from daycares and preschool, well, mostly daycares, because preschools, you're, typically your child should be fully potty trained. Most preschools will work really hard with you because they should be moving on from potty training. So mostly in daycares, it always surprises me because when a child is like 2 to 3 years old, that's like the potty training range. And so I am always shocked at the amount of daycares I hear about that don't support potty training, that expect a child to potty train in a diaper. And I imagine it has to work for some of their clientele because otherwise they wouldn't be so staunch about it. But what we're hearing a lot is that the child has to be in a diaper until the child is self-initiating, which makes zero sense to me because, as you know from the book, self-initiation, I found, comes 3 to 8 weeks after you remove the diaper. So to have a child in a diaper, which is for them to pee and poop in, and expect them to self-initiate, is just, it's a really big stretch for a little mind that doesn't have a whole lot of executive functioning or prefrontal cortex development. It's like you're actively engaged in the old behavior, but you're expecting the child to initiate the new behavior. And so this kind of sucks. Like, it's the adults in the room. This is where sometimes child-led gets kind of funky. It's like, no. The adults in the room don't wait for the child to lead a new process. We lead that process. So I don't really have a fix for this, except maybe bring in the book and say, hey, here's like one of the reigning potty training experts. Can you just follow, show them the blocks, but maybe have a talk with them? I think it's just a wild expectation of kids. And I realize that this isn't your fault and there's not a lot you can do with it. So if this is happening with you, I completely sympathize. I am 100% on your team. I do think it's ludicrous. And I think you can have a talk with them and see if you can get some sense into them. Of course, you know, they're in charge of your child and some people don't have a choice. They can't change daycare. So, you know, ultimately you have to do what they ask you to do. But it is a bizarre expectation. And I also think it's really unfair. I think it's really unfair to the child when we do that, when we expect them to do the work. Yeah. And I talk about this on my other podcast. A lot of times a modern parenting pitfall is that we say it's child led, but really we're asking permission from the child for us to parent them, or we're expecting a very small child to make logical decisions about their future, including like the next 2 hours. And it doesn't really pan out. So I really sympathize with you. And the best you can do is like try to talk to the teacher, try to talk to the director and see how to manage that. As all things that when it goes wrong with daycare, when potty training goes wrong with daycare, please, 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 if you have re-entered daycare, you're in a new daycare or a preschool, or it's coming up and your child hasn't been there before, or they're newly potty trained, we have the daycare blueprint available at jamieglowacki.com. Please get that. It's so much better to be prepared. Half of it is how to prepare and the other half is troubleshooting. So I really, really recommend that just to sort of ease your way, ease your mind. All right, moving on to, it's not necessarily like back to school, but it is something that sort of crops up when a child goes to a transition where they like have to be potty trained, or maybe it's a new school. I've worked with a lot of clients over this summer who like their children were going to a new private school, or, you know, they had some situation that was changing where it wasn't loosey-goosey. The kid needs to be potty trained. And so then these like weird habits come up that the parents let go, these patterns that the parents let go on and on and on. And now it's a thing. And so one of these is a child who is not using other bathrooms. And this isn't, you know, a child not using a public restroom in the first month or so. That's normal. That's to be expected. They're fearful. I've done podcasts on that before, but this is months, even a year into potty training. The child will only use the toilet at home. That is a sticky situation. The situation itself, you probably need a consultation to help you deal with that. So I'm not going to go into that. What I really want to talk about is the pattern. This also happened when the pandemic started and parents were like kind of stuck home with their kids for the first time, you know, really all the time. my work went through the roof, and a lot of it was poop withholding or pooping in pants. And I got so many clients whose kids had pooped their pants for like 2 years. It's astounding to me because I'm like, I know hope springs eternal, but when we look at these patterns, you have to know your child. I have to say this, and it's going to sound grumpy, and I'm not meaning it to sound grumpy, but it's like, what were you expecting to change? You know, like when you have something that goes on for a long, long time and you know it's not right, time isn't always going to fix that. So especially potty training issues, I just find with almost all potty training issues, once you go past a certain level with, you know, poop withholding, pooping in pants, the child not using public restrooms or any toilet outside the house or very particular potty chair, once you get past a certain range, and I can't define that for you. I can't say, okay, exactly at 8 weeks, it's too long. But you, the parent, must know, like, I got to take care of this. Ooh, I got to take care of this. And so don't let hope spring eternal. Don't let, like, well, maybe tomorrow it will be better. And I kept asking my clients that. I was like, your child's been pooping their pants for every day for 2 years. Like, why do you think you need help now? Like, why didn't you get help earlier? Get help earlier. We have consultants, you know, that's why we all have full-time jobs doing this, is because people need help. And a lot of times this is something that you can't just give definitives. You can't just say, you know, like I said, like 8 weeks, that's when it's too long. Again, it's really hard to fix these things on something like a podcast or social media or an email. So I would definitely get help. But more importantly, when you see a pattern that feels wonky, that feels like it's getting out of control, you know, you can always ask on Instagram. You can always be like, hey, I got this situation. Should I wait, or do you think I need a consultant? So that's a really good middle ground. You can always ask on social media, like a quick question, and we can say, oh no, that's a consult, or hey, no, give it a couple more weeks. You know, that can help you quite a bit. On a similar note, is we've also been hearing a lot. And when I say we, I have a monthly meeting with the OCRAP consultants. And so we go through difficult cases, we go through sort of trends that we're seeing. And so a lot of these things crop up with more than one consultant. So when I say we, that's what I'm talking about. It's not just me. It's kind of like, it's a really good sample because we have consultants all over the world. So these trends, it's really wild. They happen in like waves, and they go literally across the globe. And this one is that the child is missing the I have to go pee. So you know how I say potty training is really just from clueless to I peed, right? A lot of times the child will recognize after they peed. Then there is the I'm peeing stage. You can tell they're like deer in a headlight. You know, something's happening, right? And then the next step is I have to go pee. And that's really the crux of potty training, is the I have to go pee. And so what's happening is parents are coming to us as consultants and saying, oh, my kid's just not self-initiating. They're not saying they have to go pee. But what is happening is they are withholding pee and or poop. So they are recognizing the feeling. They are not self-initiating because they're fearful of the release. So just bear that in mind. And with the pee withholding, poop withholding, get my pooping solutions course. Pee withholding absolutely 100% needs a consultation. I have a 100% guarantee fix for it, but you need hand holding. It can't be done alone. We tried. So just recognize that your child, they almost are they're not self-initiating, but they are recognizing the feeling that they have to go. They're just struggling with release. And so that might look like walking on tiptoes. I always say, you know, you have a withholder if you have one, because it's so obvious. They're holding their butt. They can't release. You know, a wide description of it is they want to. Like a constipated kid is a willing partner. A constipated kid will sit, try, it won't come. A withholder usually won't even sit. And if you have a pee withholder, that tends to look even more dramatic, of course, because we have more pee, right? More opportunities to pee. Poop withholding, maybe just one poop. With pee withholding, it might be all day that you see this behavior, and then they might pee their pants, and then then the withholding starts again. So the pee withholding is a little more dramatic, and we approach it a little differently. So again, they are recognizing it. They just can't and or have a fear of it. I don't want to say they don't want to, because that sounds like they're being manipulative, and it's a slight behavior, but it's more of an anxiety behavior. It's not just them being, you know, little twerps as kids can be. All right, guys, that's all I have for today. So thank you for listening. As always, I really appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate your questions on Instagram, and I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast and finding answers. I love putting out the content, and I love giving you guys as much free content as I can. All right, as always, rock on.